You are now listening to the Autoimmune Doc Podcast with Dr. Taylor Crick. Dr. Taylor is an expert in helping those suffering with autoimmune disease, and he himself has autoimmune disease. Autoimmunity is rampant today. The purpose of this podcast is to educate about the underlying causes and natural solutions to halt autoimmune disease progression. This podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. For more information from Dr. Taylor, visit www.autoimmuneeducationacademy.com. Without further ado, here's your host, Dr. Taylor Crick.
All right, welcome to the Autoimmune Doc Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Taylor Crick, and I love explaining the underlying mechanisms behind autoimmunity and chronic disease. Today's episode is about toxins and autoimmunity, which is a really important topic. I probably say that every time, but every single topic I think is really important. But I honestly do think that this is the most important topic today, you know, more important than food or more important than pathogens, because I think that our world is getting increasingly toxic. And this is a good segue from the last several episodes. So let me recap those real quick, kind of here at the beginning. Before I jump into those, let me just start by saying, you know, visit our website at autoimmuneeducationacademy.com. Leave us a rating and a review, sign up for our email list, or I now do have a new YouTube channel that's live that has just some study. It's all just literature reviews. So it's stuff that we talk about on the podcast. It's brand new. I think it has like half a dozen subscribers or something, maybe like eight, I think. But yeah, we haven't pushed it out at all. But I have been doing video reviews of studies on that channel, so I'm sure that will grow quickly. We have another YouTube channel as well that's under my clinic's name at Wash Wellness Center, Washington Wellness Center, and a lot of really good info on there. And then also find me on Instagram at Autoimmune Doc. And those are really you know, some of the ways that you can get a hold of us and stay plugged in, and some other, you know, easy things or good things coming out, you know, in the future. So again, this is a good segue from the last several episodes, so I want to recap those real quickly. So, you know, a few episodes ago or in the last several, we've been talking about pathogens. So pathogens meaning infections like viruses or bacteria or fungal things, and they can trigger autoimmunity. So pathogens trigger inflammation and an immune response. I think we all know that. That's kind of the job of the immune system. But the overall takeaway from those episodes, if you haven't heard those yet, is that it's not about one pathogen, but rather the burden of pathogens, the overall burden of pathogens from childhood that really puts a burden on the system that can eventually, you know, break the camel's back and cause autoimmunity. So sometimes one pathogen can be the match that kind of lights the fire or be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But there's a burden of those that kind of, you know, set somebody up for that in the first place. So again, you know, they kind of gathered up all the logs and poured the gas on, or there's a straw that broke the camel's back. Like what we're seeing now, even with COVID and kind of long COVID, is that, you know, some of those people that are having the long COVID or post-COVID symptoms, they might have a bigger pathogen burden in their history. And all those things are impossible to prove or all, you know, speculatory. And the same thing is true about toxins. And that's why I wanted to recap today, is that it's not going to be about necessarily one toxic exposure, but rather a burden of toxins throughout lifetime and kind of a filling of the bucket kind of concept there. But going back to our last few episodes, then we talked about the big three. So the big three pathogens, we talked about one virus, Epstein-Barr virus, a bacteria, Lyme disease, and a fungus and mold toxicity. So we talked about the big three. And again, that's the same thing that I'm going to do here. Today's talking about toxins and autoimmunity just in general. What's wrong with toxins? Where do they come from? Some of the big picture things. Then next time I'm going to talk about three toxins in particular and just kind of their mechanisms, some of the research connecting those to autoimmunity. Some of the ones that are highly linked to autoimmune disease. And so then the next episode, the last couple episodes in our that we've released recently, one was about mast cells. So, and that's the good segue here, because mast cells are kind of the mechanism by which pathogens and toxins can trigger inflammation. So when you have a high pathogen burden, your mast cells can be triggered. Mast cells can be triggered by viruses, by bacteria, by molds, and just by LPS and by IgE antibodies, and you know, a plethora of different things. And then they can lead to kind of this inflammatory cascade. And the same thing is true with toxins. Toxins can trigger mast cells. So if you haven't listened to the last episode, we talked about that. And a lot of times this is, again, just another good kind of segue or illustration to talk about toxins. It's kind of a bucket theory with your mast cells, meaning that it's not just pathogens, it's not just toxins, but it's often both. And as the bucket fills with maybe more of one than the other, maybe more of the other than the one, but the mast cells get sensitized, they begin to react more, you begin to get this underlying just kind of inflammatory tone, this increased kind of background inflammatory tone that leads to more disruption and more, you know, problems basically. So that's kind of the recap of the last several episodes. Toxins or mast cells are one of the mechanisms by which toxins can cause inflammation that's similar to pathogens. So some of the mechanisms might be similar. Now, here's the difference. Toxins are jacking up our world right now, but pathogens get all the fame right now. People are so scared of viruses. I had somebody just say that the other day. They literally said, oh my gosh, well, we're just so scared of viruses. And I thought, well, first off, you know, why? You know, and I mean that literally, but why? And I want you to think about this seriously, because if you're scared of viruses, that's fine. I think viruses are absolutely scary. But I think that some of that fear has been sensationalized and generated because toxins are really, truly, really scary. They're all over the place and nobody seems to be freaking out, you know, nearly as much as they are about viruses. But yeah, so I think that toxins are jacking up our world. We keep having more and more toxins. We keep having more and more chronic disease and inflammatory things and you know, problems and infertility and so on and so forth. And I think that it's toxins that are really, you know, kind of behind the scenes causing most of the problems. So, and in my opinion, so again, toxins are much more important than pathogens, but you often can't handle one without the other. And so a couple things that toxins do. Toxins suppress the immune system. So when they suppress the immune system, they can allow for pathogen expansion. So certain toxins are immunosuppressive in a very specific way that literally allows for increased viral burden or allows for viral replication or allows for, you know, bacterial expansion or biofilm formation or so on and so forth. So even if you're scared of viruses and pathogens, be scared of what allows those to grow, which could be toxins. Toxins also create inflammation. So there's a big difference there immunologically is that they can suppress certain aspects of immunology. So that allows for viral expansion. But at the same time, they can aggravate certain aspects of immunology that allow for inflammation and allow for this kind of nonstop inflammatory response, which is the body trying to clear out the pathogen or clear out the toxin rather, or clear out the damaged tissue from the toxin. And that means that it's nonstop work for the immune system. So let's say that you have, you know, a toxin that has gotten into your cells or your tissues, and it's creating nonstop inflammation, nonstop tissue damage, and that's creating nonstop cleanup work for the immune system. The immune system is trying really, really hard to keep that inflammation under control, keep that tissue damage under control, keep it from leading to, you know, irreversible damage, keep it from leading to autoimmunity, maintain tolerance. And that's just a burden on the immune system, which means that it's not able to do other things. Toxins disrupt hormones and endocrine control. That's a big, 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 big deal. That again is getting a little bit more airplay, but not that much, especially in the COVID era. So I just read the book Countdown, and Countdown is scary. And the author, I think her name is Shanna Swan, I want to say. But she was on Joe Rogan, which is one of the best things that can happen for this kind of movement is to get her on something like that with a huge viewing. You know, I had a cousin of mine text me and just say, oh my gosh, this is really, really scary. You know, what do you do for a coffee pot? And what do you do for this? And, you know, once you're made aware of the problem with toxins, then, you know, you're aware of the problem with toxins. So the book Countdown is really, really scary. The title is, the Countdown is based on the rates at which infertility has increased, and at the rates at which sperm counts and testosterone levels and things like that are decreasing. Based on those rates, if you continue the graph hypothetically into the future, we're going to be infertile as a species like really, really soon. I forget the year, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's really, 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 really soon that we'll be, you know, over majority, not completely infertile, like no more offspring, but just over 50%. You know, the rates are already pretty high of infertility. And they, in this book, they link this research, that, and there's a lot of literature, a lot of research linking this, toxic exposures to, you know, decreased male hormones, and really the increasing of gender fluidity, which is a really, really interesting topic. She talks about it in the book as well, but you know, kind of mixing societal things and science things without getting, you know, political or even inputting my opinion, really. It's just interesting to see that these things aren't just happening societally. These things are literally happening, and they're happening in other species. What's called the feminization of males and the masculinization of females in other species, down to like frogs and other things, because of toxins. So toxins, again, disrupt hormone control. And then as we go deeper and deeper and deeper, toxins disrupt cellular function. They disrupt, you know, cell membranes. A lot of them are lipophilic, which means that they store in the cell membranes. They're fat soluble. They get into the cell membranes. They disrupt cell membrane communication, integrity, stiffness, fluidity, things like that. And they disrupt the mitochondria. They disrupt the delicate mitochondrial membrane. They disrupt mitochondrial bioenergetics through various mechanisms. But now we're talking things like, you know, heavy metals or organophosphates or pesticides or mycotoxins or things that are known to disrupt cellular mechanisms, endoplasmic reticulum, you know, just tons and tons of cellular mechanisms that I won't get too deep into, but toxins disrupt those. And I think that even when I say that, even if I said that to, you know, my grandma or somebody, everybody knows that. Everybody knows this, but we just don't think about the sheer exposure and what that's doing on a cumulative level, and what we want to do, you know, just about that. So, and then lastly, toxins damage the brain. Toxins damage the brain because of all these things. They damage cellular function. They damage mitochondria. They damage hormones and endocrine control. They create inflammation. They jack up the immune system, and all that can damage the brain, and all that can damage everything else. So that's toxins. So they're xenobiotic, meaning they're foreign to the body, and they're non-hormetic, meaning hormesis is a concept that, like, you know, certain things are good to the body at a small amount, like exercise, but in too much, it's bad. Or certain things, like even some hormones can be, or some toxins rather, can be a stressor to the body. Like stress in general. Stress is good to a certain degree, and then it becomes bad. It's got a bell curve. And toxins are non-hormetic, meaning there is no biological purpose for lead or for mercury or for glyphosate in the body. It serves absolutely no purpose. It only takes away from true health. And again, going back to the pathogens, we have an immune system that's designed to adapt and to fight pathogens. Now, can that be overwhelmed? Are there pathogens that are scary? Do we have, you know, certain antibiotic-resistant superbugs and mutations and things like that? Absolutely. But I think that that's the goal of our immune system, is to try to figure that out. And it doesn't know what to do with a lot of these toxins. So where are they found? In short, where are they found is a little bit of everywhere. And that's all I'm going to go through is, you know, again, just again, some of the basics, but where are they found? How do they get in? And how do they get out? And then in the next few episodes or in the next episode, at least, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the specifics and some of the things that you can do, you know, just kind of for autoimmunity. So food is the first place. So food, they're found in hydrogenated oils. There are heavy metals in our food supply. There are hormones in our meat, in our dairy. There are pesticides in tons and tons of our food. There are nanoparticles in our food. So again, I'm just listing these, and a lot of these are just off the top of my head too, that there are toxins in our food, and I don't think that that's incredibly shocking to many people. And that's even beyond just some of the things that are quote-unquote bad, like sugar or hydrogenated oils or trans fats or just, you know, bad actual food. We're talking xenobiotics. We're talking foreign particles that are in our food at high levels. There's an article that I did a long time ago and a podcast called Seven Food Additives That Cause Leaky Gut and Autoimmune Disease. And they just go through the literature linking. This was like, it was like 10 years ago now. Maybe not that. But yeah, they just go through some of the additives and some of the things that are kind of linked in the literature to leaky gut, to autoimmune progression, to things like that, nanoparticles. There's just a ton of stuff in your food. So that's one place. And so how do they get in? Well, in the case of food, they're going to get in through a leaky gut. So toxins can cause a leaky gut. Just because you're eating a bunch of junk, it's going to damage and disrupt the gut. So even if you have an intact gut, like let's say you're a four-year-old who eats a bunch of junk crap, and you're going to get leaky gut, you're going to get damage, you're going to get inflammation, and that's going to allow other things in. The next place that they are is in the air. So airborne toxins are really, really common. And again, we all know this. We know this from cigarettes. We know this from pollution. We know this from car exhaust. We know that toxins are in the air. We know this from pictures of China. You know, in Utah, the air pollution is really, really severe and really, really bad. And you know, same with LA and different places. You know, I just mentioned China. But in Utah, this is a big deal, like the inversion. Like we know that there's certain chemicals in the inversion. We know it's high in mercury. We know that there are other things in the inversion. It's associated with miscarriages, been associated with heart disease, all kinds of different things. There's lead, there's mercury, there's things in exhaust pollution like benzene and other chemicals. There's particulate matter. You know, there's particulate matter that's measured at PM2.5, which is 2.5. I believe it's microns in diameter, so those are the tiny little particles that can kind of get through the lungs. And then there's particulate matter 10.0, I think, is the next like measurement that they rate these at. And those are bigger particles. But these particles, again, just like in the gut, they have to have a way in. So the lung's job is to protect them. The lung, the sinuses, like keep those things out. But when they're really small, they can get in. And then they poke holes in this lining, and then other things can get in. So here in the Midwest, now that I live here in the Midwest again, we talk about farming, we talk about the pesticides, the grain dust, the mycotoxins from farming, indoor air. I talk about indoor air a lot, indoor air quality, that's mold, dust particles. You can have things like volatile organic compounds, formaldehydes, you know, all kinds of stuff inside the house. And then also I want to just touch on, I won't say too much about it. It's still controversial, but it's getting to be less controversial. But the topic of what's commonly referred to as chemtrails. Now, that's considered to be a non-scientific term. Geoengineering is the legit term. And they're spraying things in the air to control and manipulate weather patterns. And so they're toxins, and that can be measured. Again, this is controversial. Some people will completely deny this, but you can measure the increase in soil samples of certain things like barium and aluminum in these things that they're spraying. And, you know, I think that 10 years ago, I would say this, and people would say, no, those are clouds. and say, well, that's not a cloud. There are lines across the sky making X's, and they're all over now. And regardless of what your opinion is on that, you know, I think the more people are just starting to look up and ask questions. So, and I'm not 100% certain on that. That's just my opinion of what I think that is. So there's more chemicals being released into the air. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. Another source is water, you know, so just your tap water, your normal water, not to mention swimming. You know, I never really thought about this, but like there's a creek in the back of my sister and brother-in-law's house, and it's Farm Creek. All the farms filter into that creek and dump into the Illinois River. And so pesticides, things like that, you know, this is a known thing that even down by the Gulf, by the mouth of the Mississippi down by New Orleans, they call it Cancer Alley, because as you get further south down the Mississippi, the cancer rates go up fairly dramatically because there's just more toxins flowing into the water there and there's more exposure. And so that's, you know, certainly a thing. And then you're just your tap water, you know, there's obviously lead, like just as incidents by the Flint, Michigan thing. And of course that's a big deal in national news and stuff of a big, you know, kind of mess up, but there's small amounts of these things in all like many municipal water sources. There's medications, there's things like oral contraceptives, there's other, you know, medication residues, there's hormones, there's pesticides, and there's all these things that have been linked to water, even in municipal filtered, you know, water sources, not to mention the pipes that it can flow through, whether it be lead or metal or PVC, polyvinyl chloride, or, you know, whatever. Then there's your house. So, you know, there's your mattresses. And a lot of kids' things, like kids' mattresses, kids' cribs, kids' pajamas, they're sprayed with flame retardants because they don't want to be a liability. They don't want to their you know, pajama or their blanket or their mattress to go up in flames and get sued. So they're sprayed with flame retardants. There's furniture that off-gasses certain chemicals. There's wood floorings that off-gas chemicals like formaldehyde. There's new furniture. I already said that, I guess. There's new electronics. Then there's just the other things like dust, mold toxins, you know, et cetera, that we've talked about before. There's kids' toys. Gosh, what a scary one. You know, I have kids. There's plastics everywhere. A lot of them are cheap. They're made in, you know, subpar factories and have subpar ingredients and have lead and other things. And in the book, Countdown, she references another book that I've, you know, referenced for many years and we keep on our shelves still today, and it's called Slow Death by Rubber Duck. And it goes through just all the toxic exposures that kids are exposed to on a daily basis and that people are exposed to just in daily, everyday life, and the accumulation of those things. So kids' toys and then personal care products. So again, not trying to scare you, but awareness is the biggest thing. So I just made a list here of some of like the fat-soluble lipophilic toxins. There's bisphenols, so BPA. There's volatile organic compounds, polyvinyl chlorides, PVCs. The things can come from, you know, PVC pipes, come from like yoga mats and different, you know, foams and things like that that are treated with these chemicals. There's organophosphate pesticides that can stick around for a long time, dioxins, phthalates and parabens, they're in plastics and personal care products. There's mycotoxins and mercury and heavy metals. We're going to talk about that one for sure next time, just a deeper dive into the heavy metals with the kind of three focus. My plan is mercury, BPA, and I forget what the third one was. I think it was going to be glyphosate. There's flame retardants, there's PCBs, so there's all kinds of different things. So let me just go back to a recap of kind of big picture. Toxins cause problems. They cause autoimmune disease. They cause inflammation. They cause, you know, metabolic disease because they jack up a little bit of everything. So they're associated with essentially every disease process under the sun. They can trigger bad genes through epigenetics. They have a myriad of different mechanisms. But toxins have to have a way in. So you have to have a leaky gut. You have to have intestinal permeability. You have to have lung permeability. You have to have sinus permeability. Or you have to have brain permeability for it to get in there. Or they can get in, you know, transdermally, they can get in through the skin, or they can get in through an injection. If they get in through an injection, then there's no barrier system to protect them. So that is a full-blown, like, you went away for vacation, and instead of, it's not like you left your door unlocked, it's like you left your door wide open. Or not even that, it's like you invited robbers over and you let them in, you showed them around before you left, is more like it. Glutathione is your body's master detoxifying molecule, and it protects the barrier system. So when your body's exposed to a lot of toxins, it uses up a lot of glutathione to protect and detoxify, and then glutathione gets depleted, and then your barrier systems and your mitochondria are left susceptible to more damage. So the barriers and the mitochondria, again, are protected by glutathione, and it gets depleted by this toxic burden. And then toxins have to be shown a way out. That's another big thing, is how do we detoxify? How do we clear these things out? If all the doors are crowded, then they won't leave. And if all the doors are blocked, then they can't leave. But if all the doors are crowded, then they just won't leave. It's like if everybody's leaving the concert, you might just choose to stay in your seat for 10 minutes and let it filter out. Otherwise, you're just going to stay. You don't want to go stand in line. So you have to focus on the drainage pathways, the detox pathways, like the gut, making sure that you're pooping, making sure that you're getting things moving and flowing out through the gut, like the liver and the gallbladder, making sure that that doesn't get backed up, looking at labs, maybe taking supplements, or looking at things that, like, what are some signs and symptoms that makes sure that it keeps moving. But it's just an important thing that, you know, you have to make sure toxins are being transformed through the liver and through what's called the biotransformation pathways. The kidney as well. So the kidney is really important. The bile is more important for the fat-soluble vitamins, and but the kidneys for the water-soluble vitamins. And then the lymph keeps everything flowing too. So lymph can get stagnant. And even on a cellular level, there are detox mechanisms like glutathione and methylation and cytochrome P450 and phase 1 and phase 2. But again, the point of today's episode isn't to go into all these details. It's to tell you that toxins really, 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 really matter. And if you're not taking this into account, if you're not looking at your lifestyle, if you're not regularly detoxifying, you know, a metaphor that I've been using lately is the metaphor of dust in your house. And that's kind of similar to toxins, is you don't want to just, you know, be really, really careful about pesticides. And just in the same way that you don't want to be really, really careful about dust in your bedroom and forget all the other areas, I'd rather see you spread things out and have each room be 80% clean than have one room be 100% clean and other rooms be neglected, because it's all connected. So same thing with toxins. It's not to say that any one toxin is the big, bad, scary cause of all autoimmune disease, but it's to say that toxins in general can accumulate, can clog up your drainage and detox pathways, can deplete glutathione, leaving you more susceptible to other toxins getting in, to other pathogens getting in, and then could even leave the door open for something like a pathogen-based autoimmunity, because then you have leaky gut or leaky lungs or this suppressed immune system. So I do think that toxins are just really, 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 really important. In the next episode, we're going to talk about some of those toxins. And then my guess is that after that, we might talk about just some detox pathways and some things like that. My focus is going to get into some like lifestyle stuff that's not specific to any autoimmune disease or even autoimmune disease in general, but some lifestyle things that can be good for any inflammatory condition, but especially good for autoimmune disease. So that's kind of the focus of the next few episodes. So leave us a rating and a review. Again, find us on Instagram, sign up for our email list, get those studies that we send out weekly, check out our other YouTube channels, And yeah, and also you could schedule a free 15-minute phone consult with me if you're interested. There are some ways to work with me, and we've got some other, you know, things coming out down the road with that. So yeah, talk to you guys next time.